It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Bicker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Later in the hour, we'll hear how Wisconsin is leading the way when it comes to apprenticeship programs.
First, we're joined by Dr. Robert Lustig. He's a pediatric endocrinologist at the University of California, San Francisco, and a crusader against sugar.
Since he published his first bestseller, Fat Chance, he's been an outspoken critic of processed foods and food companies, which he says add sugars and simple carbs to the majority of the food we buy at the grocery store.
He says that the problem with processed foods is not just that they lead to obesity, but that they can also lead to things like metabolic diseases, heart disease, and cancer, things that 40% of normal weight Americans suffer from.
Robert Lustig, along with Chef Cindy Gershon, published a new cookbook, The Fat Chance Cookbook, with tips and recipes on how to avoid sugars and still eat tasty food. We'll be giving away a copy of this cookbook with any pledge of $10 a month or more during this hour at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Pledge and get your copy right off the bat. Dr. Lustig, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks very much, Av. I'm always happy to be back in Madison. I was a faculty member at UW for 5 years.
That's right. I remember hearing that last time you were on. Somebody had mentioned that to us. Well, you refer to our modern diet here in the U.S. as the global industrial diet. What does that look like?
Well, what it looks like is all the fiber stripped away for convenience, shelf life, and depreciation, and sugar and simple carbohydrate added because, number one, it's cheap, number two, it's tasty, and number three, it gets you to purchase more. So it is a never-ending process of consumption, and now, unfortunately, we know disease as well.
Now let's talk about that disease factor a little bit. You stress that obesity isn't the only problem. What else do you see as being part of this picture?
Well, here's the problem, Veronica. Everyone assumes that the health care crisis is due to obesity. 30% of obese people, 30% of Americans are obese, and 80% of those 30% have metabolic illnesses of various sorts, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, lipid problems, cardiovascular disease, cancer, and dementia. And so it's assumed that the 80% of 30%, which adds up to 57 million people, it's them who are breaking the bank. Everyone assumes they are the problem, and if they would only just diet and exercise, we could solve this problem. Number one, this is pejorative, saying it's only about obesity. And number two, it ain't true. It turns out that if 80% of obese people have metabolic illness, that means 20% of obese people are metabolically healthy. They will live a completely normal life, diet a completely normal age, not cost the taxpayer a dime. They're just fat. Conversely, 40% of the normal weight population have the exact same metabolic diseases as do the obese. When you look at their blood panels, they have the same issues. They have hypertriglyceridemia, insulin resistance, cytokines coming from their visceral fat, and they have the same diseases, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, lipid problems, cardiovascular disease, cancer, and dementia, at a slightly lower rate. But when you do the math, it turns out there are more of them than there are sick obese. So when you add the normal weight sick people and the obese sick people together, it's more than half the U.S. population.
So
it's a public health crisis.
So what is it about the food that's out there that we buy, that we eat, that is contributing to so many of us having these metabolic diseases?
Exactly. That's the question. What is it? Well, that's what our research and that's what other people's research have shown. Turns out, we have a capacity to metabolize a certain number of calories, and it depends on which organs are metabolizing them. As it turns out, the sweet molecule in sugar, called fructose, is only metabolized in the liver. It has a limited capacity to do so. If you overwhelm that limited capacity, then the liver has no choice but to take the extra energy and turn it into liver fat. And it's now been shown that the generation of liver fat is the single inciting factor behind most, if not all, of these chronic metabolic diseases. So making your liver have to work overtime to try to metabolize more sugar than your liver is capable of doing is the driver of these chronic metabolic diseases. And the sad part is that virtually one half of the sugar you consume is in foods you didn't even know had it. They weren't a choice. They were processed foods, and you didn't know that's what you were doing. So it's really easy to go over your limit.
So what's an example of a food like that that we eat and we think, hey, we're doing okay eating this food, but surprise, there's a lot of sugar in it?
The big one, yogurt.
Yogurt.
Everyone thinks yogurt is healthy. I am here to tell you that in America, yogurt is not healthy. Okay, in Europe, yogurt is healthy because it's plain yogurt. And, I mean, what is yogurt? It's sour milk, right? The only difference between yogurt and the milk that sours in your refrigerator is that for yogurt, you get to choose the bacteria that does the souring. Okay? Everywhere else, yogurt is yogurt, and what you do is, to cut the sourness, you add some whole fruit to it. Well, not in America. In America, yogurt is sweet. Yogurt is dessert, right? It's called frozen yogurt, and that's on purpose. So let's take a look at a package of plain yogurt. 7 grams of sugar, all milk sugar or lactose. No problem. Now let's look at a package of pomegranate yogurt, 19 grams of sugar. So that means 12 grams of sugar have been added to that pomegranate yogurt to basically cut the sourness. Bottom line, when you eat a pomegranate yogurt, you are eating a plain yogurt plus a bowl of Cap'n Crunch. Question is that okay?
When you put it that way, it's less appealing.
It ain't okay. Yeah. It ain't okay at all. But yet it's sold as a health food. And people think they're eating healthy, and they're not.
Well, now you've published this cookbook with a chef to help us get around the sugar landmines you're talking about at the grocery store. And I understand you've got a favorite recipe here that the two of you put in the book, a polenta patties. Can you tell us about those and why that's a favorite of yours?
Sure. Number one, it's a brunch dish. It's a it's for weekends. It's not for weekdays. Because it does require a little bit of extra preparation. Every recipe, by the way, in the book has been vetted by a Mount Diablo high school student to be prepared, consumed, and delicious within a school period. This book was specifically written to get kids to cook, because we can't solve this problem, this obesity metabolic syndrome epidemic, in America until kids know how to cook. And one-third of America today does not know how to cook. So it's really important to be able to do that. That's what this book is for. But the reason polenta patties, recipe works is because, number one, it's unrefined carbohydrate. And number two, they're vegetables. It's vegetables for breakfast. Number three, it's high-quality protein in the poached eggs. Eggs have the highest quality protein of any protein source on the planet. And number four, it's downright delicious. And it doesn't take all that much time, and nobody turns their thumb up at this. This is a solid, rational, appropriate brunch dish. Good for you and tastes delicious and is not that hard to make.
We're speaking with Dr. Robert Lustig about his new cookbook, The Fat Chance Cookbook.
And that's just one sampling of the many, many recipes that are in there. There are sauces and salad dressings and brunch dishes and legumes and beans and all kinds of things. There are sandwiches to get you going in the Fat Chance Cookbook. We'll be talking with him again shortly.
And it is our winter membership drive. Gene Purcell is here in the studio with me. And if you make your pledge during this hour of $10 or more, that's $120 throughout the course of the year, ask for your copy of The Fat Chance Cookbook by Dr. Lustig and Chef Cindy Gershon. Lots and lots of recipes, everything from meals to things to replace some of the things that he says have a lot of sugar when you buy them at the store. Simple things like condiments, ranch dressing, a whole lot of other things. Make your pledge now. Support great public radio. And get your copy for $10 a month or more of the Fat Chance Cookbook. You do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, by all means, make your calls right now. We do like to thank some of the folks who called last hour. We heard from 22 new and returning members to Wisconsin Public Radio. And thanks to all of you for making those pledges of support. We've got a brand new hour and a brand new goal right now. 30 pledges by 5 o'clock is where we need to be. And we set up the goals to make sure that WPR has the money that we need to pay for the programs like Central Time that you rely on. So help us make that goal. Make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
How many times have you been listening to the Ideas Network and heard something that stopped you in your tracks? Something like Dr. Lustig saying, yogurt, not a health food. Something that made you change the way you think about the world. We strive every day for programs that open your eyes, engage your brain, maybe challenge things that you think. Programs that affect your life. This kind of radio only happens with your financial support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it does happen with your financial support, and we know that you give to Wisconsin Public Radio because you want to support the programs. You want to hear more of what we have to offer. But as an added incentive for this hour, we've got something special for you right now. It is the Fat Chance Cookbook, and it's yours. As Rob said, when you give $120 or more, that's just $10 a month, ask for it now when you make your pledge of support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So I've been living in Wisconsin for roughly the last 20 years. I came here for school. I think I became a member when I was in my mid-20s. Whenever I could, I would try to send $20 or something and whatever I could manage at that time. I've always imagined that it would be fun to be a philanthropist. And if I thought something was really a wonderful cause that I could give them $1 million, just, you know, open my checkbook. There are not nearly as many zeros involved, but in a small way, I'm a small scale philanthropist. It definitely feels like money that's going to a good cause. When I became a sustainer, it felt like there was an additional connection. To me, it's a no-brainer. When I became a sustainer, it just made things that much better. Sort of like the way it felt when I got married a couple years ago. I loved him a lot, but when I married him, it felt even that much better. My name is Lisa, and I live in Monona, Wisconsin. I really enjoy being a sustainer, and I encourage you to do the same.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Rob Ferret here with Gene Purcell asking for your support of Central Time of the Ideas Network and of Wisconsin Public Radio during our winter membership drive. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because you count on things like quality information, great entertainment, and lively discussion. And in fact, you make Wisconsin a better place just by listening and by being a more well-rounded person.
You're a listener. Now take the next step and become a member. Your donation of $10 a month makes Wisconsin a place where great radio is available to everyone. And when you pledge $10 a month or more, ask for your copy of the Fat Chance Cookbook by our guest, Dr. Robert Lustig. He's on a mission to get us to eat less sugar, less processed food. He's got a lot of recipes in here to help us do that. Ask for your copy with a pledge of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in addition to great radio, we know that you expect more. So, for example, we know that you expect things like online streaming, podcasts, and a useful website at WPR.org. Wisconsin Public Radio meets all of those expectations.
But they're not free.
No,
they require investments in technology and engineering. Your donation right now keeps WPR relevant in a changing world. Make your pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's really easy to make a pledge. Giving takes just a few minutes of your time. We just need a few things. We'll need your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and then how you'd like to pay. And you can give in one lump sum or, better yet, become a monthly sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. But no matter how you choose to give or how much you care to give, please use the next few minutes to support the station that you count on, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And pledge $10 a month or more. Get your copy of the Fat Chance Cookbook. A lot of delicious-sounding stuff. Stuffed bell peppers, quinoa chili, carrot cake, a dessert, chocolate ganache without the cake. A lot of amazing recipes aimed at having less sugar, less of those carbohydrates we don't want to eat. What do you call them? Simple carbohydrates. Couldn't think of the word there. Ask for your copy with a pledge of $10 a month or more right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Later in the hour, we'll hear how Wisconsin is leading the way when it comes to apprenticeship programs.
First, we're back with Dr. Robert Lustig, author of Fat Chance, which describes how processed foods and the sugars added to them have taken a toll on American health. We're discussing his new Fat Chance cookbook with advice on how to avoid sugars and simple carbs. Lots of recipes in the book.
A reminder, we'll be giving away a copy of his cookbook as a thank you gift for your pledge of $10 a month or more during this hour at WPR.org. And Dr. Lustig, I want to ask you, when people adopt the dietary suggestions that you recommend, when they eat the sorts of recipes that your cookbook is filled with, what kind of health changes do they see?
The first thing they see almost across the board, and unfortunately it's all anecdotal because we don't have a way of quantifying it, is that they all say that they feel like they have more energy, that they just have a higher quality of life. They're more focused. They tend to be able to concentrate better, and they also seem to have a little bit more energy to go exercise. And there's reasons why that would be true. We have shown in scientific studies, not related to the cookbook, that when we get insulin down, instead of storing energy, you have it available to burn. And so you want to exercise. So we've actually shown that the biochemistry precedes the behavior. And when you fix the biochemistry, the behavior gets better of its own volition. So when we get the insulin down, and that's what this whole cookbook is about, by reducing refined carbohydrate and sugar, when we get insulin down, people feel better. People want to exercise. People start exercising spontaneously. And people write me all the time saying that they experience these very significant changes in how they feel. And once they experience that, they really don't want to go back.
I've mentioned a couple times one of your recipes in the book is for ranch dressing. You've also got barbecue sauces and things like that. How much sugar do we knock out of our diets when we make our own condiments instead of getting them off the shelf at stores?
Oh, we get rid of a whole bunch, let me tell you. Here's what you need to know. One-third of the dietary sugar that we are consuming is in soft drinks. They're identifiable. One-sixth of the sugar that we're consuming is in things like candy, ice cream, you know, desserts, things that you would identify as dessert. That means fully one-half of the added sugar in your diet is in things you didn't know had sugar, including things like bread, hamburger buns, hamburger meat, all sorts of places that you didn't know had it. And those are the places where it's really important to try to get rid of it. The American Heart Association says we should be consuming 6 to 9 teaspoons of added sugar per day, 6 for women, 9 for men as a maximum. Our current sugar consumption is 22 teaspoons per day. So they're telling us we need to reduce our consumption by 2/3 to 3/4. So if you just got rid of the sodas and the desserts, which I'm not suggesting you do, but let's say you did, you'd still be over your limit. And that's the problem. So we need a clean diet. We need a diet that is not filled with added sugars, that are put there specifically by the food industry for their own purposes. And unfortunately, until they alter their recipes, until they start, you know, providing what people want rather than what they want, we're not going to be able to fix that. So people have to do it for themselves, and that's the purpose of the cookbook.
Now, there are the sneaky sugars, the ones you don't know are in there, and then there are things that are pretty obvious, like desserts. You talked about ice cream, things like cake, cobbler, and a lot of people will say that's a sticking point. They don't want to live in a world where they can't eat anything sweet, and yet in your cookbook you have pages of recipes for desserts. How does that work?
It's very simple. I'm not a food Nazi, and neither is Cindy. The point is that dessert used to be once a week. And if dessert were once a week, it would be perfectly fine. There is no reason not to reward yourself once a week. It's perfectly fine. The problem is that with our current industrial global diet, dessert is once a meal. And that's the problem. Perfect example. The National School Breakfast Program. 25% of children today eat breakfast at school. And do you know what the National School Breakfast Program's standard breakfast is? It's a bowl of Fruit Loops and a glass of orange juice. And that's 11 teaspoons of added sugar per day. It's 6 for women, 9 for men as a maximum, and 4 for children. So those kids are already almost triple over their limit, and it's only breakfast. Now, you think that's okay? This is what the problem is. We need to be appropriate, and we are not being appropriate. And the reason is because the processed food industry has decided what we're going to eat for us. You know, people talk about the concept of personal responsibility, that you get to choose whatever you put in your mouth. Excuse me, but the food industry has already chosen for you because that's what's available. Of the 600,000 food items that are available in the American grocery store, 80% of them are spiked with added sugar, and that's by the food industry for its own purposes, not for yours. So the libertarians say, wait a second, don't tell me what to put in my mouth. Excuse me, you've already been told what to put in your mouth by the food industry. Where were you 40 years ago when the entire food landscape changed under your feet? Were you complaining then?
Quick reminder that you can get your copy of Dr. Lustig's Fat Chance Cookbook. That's what we're talking about, with a pledge of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Dr. Lustig, we've talked about a lot about what not to eat. You have a tutorial on grains, whole grains, in your book. What are some things that we're not eating that we're going to enjoy and that'll take the place of that the sugary stuff we're cutting out?
Okay. Anything that's brown. Okay, so beans, lentils, brown rice, nuts, other legumes, quinoa, farro. These are all things that we used to eat and currently don't. We need to get back to them. Each one of those is fiber-containing, and it's the fiber that mitigates the negative effects of carbohydrate on insulin release and insulin secretion. So when you consume food with its inherent fiber, you basically mitigate the negative effects of those foods. So you can have carbohydrate. It's not that you can't, but you have to have unrefined carbohydrate the way nature made it, as opposed to refined carbohydrate the way the food industry made it. That's the big difference. And so there's a tutorial on grains specifically so people know what the difference is. Example, whole grain bread. Anybody know what whole grain bread is?
It's got to have a high fiber content, right?
No, I don't know what whole grain bread is because there's no definition of whole grain bread. The FDA does not supply a definition of what they mean by whole grain. Do they mean that it's still whole grain when it's baked and cooked, or could you start with whole grain, pulverize it to smithereens, then bake or cook with it? It started with whole grain, so it must still be whole grain, right? Well, once you destroy the integrity of the kernel, the grain itself, the little sphere, it ain't whole grain anymore.
That's Dr. Robert Lustig. Thanks to him for joining us, pediatric endocrinologist at the University of California, San Francisco.
And a reminder, we'll be giving away a copy of his cookbook with any pledge of $10 a month or more during this hour at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We'll send you a thank you gift of the Fat Chance Cookbook.
Lots of great practical advice in there. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up in a few minutes, Wisconsin's apprenticeship program is seen as a model for other states. We'll find out how it connects workers with employers and how it was affected by the Great Recession and the recovery since then.
First, it's Wisconsin Public Radio's Winter Membership Drive. I'm here with Jean Purcell. At Wisconsin Public Radio, listener contributions are the single largest source of funding. Your gift keeps the programs you value, including this one, on the air. Make your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you make your contribution, you are helping to pay for the programs on Wisconsin Public Radio that you depend on, programs like Central Time. We've got about 24 minutes left to go before 5 o'clock, and we need 17 more pledges to make our goal. And we can do this thing, but only if you make your donation now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
On WPR's Ideas Network, you hear important topics. Because you want more than just a headline, we go in depth on the issues that matter to you. Just today, we've heard about campaign contributions. We just heard about kicking sugar out of the diet. Well, make your donation in support of the programs you count on and the topics that enrich your life and inform you along the way as well. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And speaking of kicking sugar out of the diet, this hour only, you can get the Fat Chance Cookbook, the cookbook we've been talking about here in Central Time for the past few minutes. When you make a contribution of $120, that's just $10 a month, and when you make that donation, of course, you get the cookbook, but you'll also get terrific programs here in Wisconsin Public Radio, and your donation makes that possible. Pledge now, WPR.org, or at 888-202-2552.
And we heard a lot about the food science behind Dr. Lustig's cookbook, but the cookbook, you know, it's essentially what it is. It's recipes, things in there like vegetarian bean chili, roasted chicken soup with vegetables, also things like nut butter bars and power muffins, all kinds of things in there. And again, it is yours with your contribution. It's our thank you to you. When you pledge $120, that checks down to $10 a month. Your donation supports the programs that you count on. And you can also get this thank you gift this hour. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember that listener contributions are the single largest source of funding we have here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It's more than business contributions, it's more than federal tax dollars, and it adds up to more than state tax dollars, too. It is really important, and your gift of any amount really matters. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I do feel that it's important to give what you can to public radio.
It's really important to support this kind of programming. It's not available elsewhere.
It's a station that sometimes challenges my assumptions.
I have found new friends that keep me really informed.
It's a station that doesn't always agree with me, which is what people seem to like to listen.
And I just feel like it's stealing to listen and not contribute.
I choose to become a member. You should choose to become a member too.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this winter membership drive. I'm Veronica Rickert here with Gene Purcell. We're asking for your support of WPR. Your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, when you make that pledge at $120 or more, you can have the Fat Chance Cookbook, our way of saying thanks for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. A lot of great recipes in there. You can learn, for example, how to make your own multigrain flatbread pizza. The crust has lots and lots of fiber, which makes it more filling and better for you. Just our way of saying thank you when you make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now, the Fat Chance Cookbook is a best-selling cookbook, and it embodies Dr. Lustig's philosophy about kicking the sugar out of the diet, the refined carbs, and he makes it easy, as we heard him say a bit ago. These are recipes that were vetted by a high school student. So, Gene, you could cook these.
I could even do that.
You could cook these. Anybody could cook these, and they sound tasty as well. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That book is our thank you gift to you with your pledge of $120 or more. That's $10 a month.
And we know that you, of course, listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because of the programming. Maybe you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because you appreciate civil discourse, similar to what we have here in Central Time every single day. You value respect, even when people disagree.
That's right. And your support will keep us going. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we're still looking for 12 more pledges this hour.
12 more pledges. Make your pledge right now and help us make our goal by 5 o'clock. Pledging to WPR is quick, and it's an easy process, too. And when you become a sustaining member, you'll really simplify your donation. It'll make it easy to you don't even have to think about it anymore. It just shows up. You'll make automatic monthly gifts from your bank account or your credit card.
And that support will renew automatically each year, so your membership is always current. So pick an amount that works for you, maybe $10 a month, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just 12 more plunges to go. We've got about 18 minutes, so we are in really good shape. We can absolutely do this, but only with your help. So give us a call and make a pledge. And remember that you might pay for a lot of other things in your life. For example, you might pay $100 a month for cable service, some of those bundling plans now. That's not that uncommon. We know that you're willing to do that because you get entertainment and you get information, and it lasts all month long.
And you get those same things on this station. In fact, the quality of what you get on WPR is unmatched. And that quality is only possible with your support. Become a sustaining member with a gift of $100 a month and keep the station strong. Or pledge $120, $10 a month for the Fat Chance Cookbook at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Later in the show, we get a visit from the director of a Wisconsin institution, the Mustard Museum. We'll get a taste of the surprising variety of mustards coming up after 5.
First, a look at Wisconsin's apprenticeship program. With the economic recovery from the Great Recession, there's been a lot of talk about the need to develop a workforce with skills that match the available jobs.
Wisconsin's apprenticeship program is set up in part to do just that. And according to a recent article in the Wisconsin State Journal, there's been growing interest from workers and employers in the recovery from the Great Recession. James Cook joins us now. He's apprenticeship manager at Madison College. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot for inviting me.
Well, what is the goal of Wisconsin's apprenticeship program?
Simply put, it's the best way for employers to train workers in select fields and professions, mainly in three areas: construction, manufacturing, and service trades.
Now, I've heard over the years that our program in the state is a bit of a model for other states around the country. Is that true?
Absolutely. It was actually the first system established, modern apprenticeship. Apprenticeship has been around for hundreds of years, but about 100 years ago, right around this time, Wisconsin modernized it and created a model that the rest of the states and the federal government eventually copied almost word for word.
Let's talk about this from a perspective of a worker. If I'm looking to be an apprentice, how do I start and what do I go through?
Well, traditionally, there is preparation in a variety of ways. One is coursework. A lot of the trades that use apprenticeship, a lot of the employers that use apprenticeship, they require the applicants to have background in basic, education courses like math is a common one. Reading is also, it didn't used to be, but it seems to be more important than ever. In addition to that, they're looking for people who have some familiarity with that field. And if they have hands-on experience as an entry-level worker within that field, that's even better. It makes them more appealing as an applicant.
And then on the employer side, what do they get out of participating in the apprenticeship program?
Well, simply put, at the end of that apprenticeship training, that worker is going to be the highest skilled, highest motivated, and most loyal employee that they have working for them. It's very high investment, but it's also high yield or the productivity is the key here, is that those workers, they know the most about that field, both in terms of depth and breadth.
And Jim, I mentioned right up front, you manage the apprenticeship program at Madison College. What is the role of the state's technical colleges in the apprenticeship system?
A little bit of history again. The apprenticeship system was enacted by the legislature in June of 1911. And they, as part of that modernization I was talking about, before that, all the training was simply on the job. And what Wisconsin did was they did two things. One is they modernized the contract system so that the contracts were more easily enforced, but they also added classroom instruction. And when they did that, they sort of sat back very proud of themselves, and they realized, where are they going to go to school? Can't go back to high school. They actually tried the university system at one time very briefly and realized that wasn't working either. They had to create an entire new school system, and that's what they did. They created the technical college system 6 months after the apprenticeship law was passed. So by law, by statute, Chapter 38, technical colleges are required to provide instruction to apprentices.
I didn't know that. So the apprenticeship program was part of the impetus for us having technical colleges in the state.
Yes, and we were also the first in the nation to do that. We were the first state to pass a publicly taxed, with its own legal, taxing powers and its own board, between secondary ed and a university system.
And then I mentioned a Wisconsin State Journal article. You were quoted in there. That's how we found out about what's been going on lately with apprenticeship, making the case there that there's been a growing interest, especially in the economic recovery. Is that true? And how big is the program getting now?
Yeah, basically what's happening is the only other time in really the last 100 years we've had this situation is World War II. We are facing a massive skilled labor shortage in this country and in the state, and the likes we haven't seen since the war. And so they're gearing up. They've seen it coming. It's really because of one real thing happening, and that's the retirement of the baby boom generation, largest generation in history. So the employers are looking for a way to match that need, but to do it in a way that doesn't sacrifice the training. They're going to do it in all ways. They're not going to just use apprenticeship. They'll hire out of the 2-year degree programs, out of the technical colleges. They'll hire people right off the street even and begin them in a variety of training methods. Apprenticeship is not cheap. It's actually a very select type of training that employers use because it is so expensive.
We've talked on the show about a change in the nature of things like manufacturing jobs and a lot of other sectors where maybe once upon a time you'd have a good shot at getting a good job straight out of high school. Now there's a lot more technology, a lot more skills and training involved. Has that changed the nature of how apprenticeship works?
Yes, actually, that is the biggest change. The biggest change in apprenticeship is that there's been, let me put it this way, when apprenticeship started, they had around 400 hours of instruction total in the classroom. Most of the training is still on the job. It's 80 to 90%, but more and more of those hours of the total training are being done in the classroom because these trades are changing so much with technological advancements.
Are you seeing more companies knocking on your door or sending you an email probably saying, Jim, we need skilled workers. How do we get on board with this thing? Is there more interest from the employers themselves?
Absolutely. I go out a lot to gatherings, organizations, council, the manufacturers, the construction employers. They're really trying to meet this head on, this challenge head on. They've really been preparing for it for 5 years. In a way, the recession has actually, in a way, muted this. If we weren't in recession, we'd be in really big trouble. But the employers have seen this, and when I go out to these gatherings, yes, they're approaching me all the time. What, you know, how does the apprenticeship program work? Many of them used to use apprenticeship. It's almost an interesting generational turnover happening here. A lot of the young people who are coming in leadership roles, they don't understand apprenticeship because their forebears, you know, stopped using it about 20 years ago, but it's coming up, you know, in a big way now.
You mentioned that apprenticeship can be fairly costly. Where is the money coming from? The state, the colleges, the employers, or some combo of all of those?
It's a combination, but the main burden still, rests on the employer. The employer trains because most of the training is actually on the job, and they're under the supervision of a skilled worker who has to take time out from their own work, their own workstation or their own work site at a construction site, and train the apprentice. And that's the true cost of apprenticeship is that.
If I'm an apprentice, am I paying tuition, or am I paying tuition just for the classroom part but getting paid while I'm on the job?
And you got it. They pay tuition to the college if they're attending the college. Some trades and employers have their own training centers, but they're quite often paying at those as well. But quite often the employers will reimburse those costs. That's how interested they are in attracting people to these programs, young people, is they'll tell them, you pay the tuition, but we'll reimburse you if you pass the course.
I'm going to guess that someone out there is listening right now thinking either, hey, I'm a young worker, I want to get on board and be an apprentice, or I'm an employer, this sounds like exactly what I need. What's the first step on either end to reach out and get involved with the state's apprenticeship program?
Well, the state apprenticeship system is actually run by the state government. There is a Bureau of Apprenticeship Standards, and they have field representatives in every district. There's about a dozen around the state. We work with two or three in the Madison area. There's also our office at the college, and they are welcome to call. I don't know if I should give the number.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, our number is 608-246-5299. and we would direct them based on what their field that they were interested in. We'd direct them to the right individuals to apply to.
Thinking about the future of apprenticeship in Wisconsin, what kind of opportunities, what kind of challenges do you see laying ahead for us?
It's really meeting the needs. It's going to be looking in places where employers and programs have not had to look before. And in a way, it's actually, that's going to present opportunities to groups. It's no secret that some of these trades have not been inclusive for women or for people of color. That's going to change. That's actually the good news, is that these shortages, the employers are going to be looking in corners where they haven't traditionally looked.
Jim, thanks a lot for coming up here and joining us today.
Thank you again for inviting me.
That's James Cook. He's apprenticeship manager at Madison College.
Coming up, we explore the sweet and spicy world of mustard with the director of Wisconsin's Mustard Museum.
First, it's our winter membership drive. Some good news. We are just 5 pledges from our goal this hour. Thank you so much to everyone who's already pledged this hour. Listeners like you are a huge part of WPR's income. Your gift takes just a few minutes of your time, and it keeps this program going strong. Invest in future listening with a pledge at WPR.org or with a call at 888-202-2552.
And again, we are looking for 5 more pledges to reach our goal in the next 5 minutes of this hour. Your pledge is so important, and these hourly goals are important because they help keep us on track and make sure that the drives keep going strong. Make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio keeps going strong. Make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We just dug into an important part of the state's economy, labor system, educational system, talking about apprenticeship. Earlier in the hour, we heard about sugar and how to kick the sugar habit in our diets with Dr. Robert Lustig. And a quick reminder, just for the rest of the hour, with a pledge of $10 or more, $10 a month or more, $120 total, ask for your copy of Dr. Lustig's Fat Chance Cookbook. It's full of awesome recipes. We've got one linked on our Facebook page, by the way, as a little taste. There are zillions more in the book. Yours for a pledge of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That recipe on Facebook, by the way, for poached eggs, polenta, and greens. So lots of yummy stuff going on there. And you can choose the Fat Chance Cookbook as your thank you gift for your pledge of $120 or more a month. It's a best-selling cookbook talking about kicking sugar out of your diet and also those refined carbs that raise insulin. And Dr. Lustig thinks they bring on a host of diseases and ailments that we can avoid if we just eat properly. Recipes all in that cookbook. So make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Alyssa Block with NPR News. We've thought long and hard about how to support the work we do here in public radio, and it's really quite a challenge. Our stations need support, our network needs support. But we really don't like to interrupt our programs to ask you. We like to keep the flow of information coming. Well, recently, we've come up with a new way to pay for public radio, and our solution is found in 2 words, the sustainer. The sustainer is a person who pays for public radio automatically each month. And as more people become sustainers, the need for on-air fundraising days like this goes down. More programming, less fundraising. It's a win-win proposition. So I ask you, please become a sustainer today. And thanks.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Rob and Veronica, your Central Time hosts here, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our winter membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Pledge drives are an important time that we get to hear from new members, and we're a new show, so it's always exciting to hear from new members as well. What about you? Are you a new member yet?
If you aren't, take that first step right now by making a gift of any amount. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make that first contribution, maybe $5 a month. When you do, you make the WPR programs you count on every day possible.
WPR is your daily companion. We're on the air 24 hours a day, whether you're at home, in the car, at the office, whether you're concentrating or you're relaxing.
Hey, we're your buddies. You count on us for great conversation, and we're buddies who bring you accurate news, great music, and intelligent conversation. We, in turn, count on you to support what you hear. That's how public radio works. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And again, the clock is running down. There's just a few minutes left in this hour, and we are still looking for five more pledges in that time. Thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know we can meet this goal with your help, with your pledge. And remember, just this is your last chance now to get the Fat Chance Cookbook by Robert Lustig, Dr. Robert Lustig. Great, tasty recipes. I'm really excited to try a lot of these myself, ways to help get sugar out of our diet and yet still have healthy and nutritious food. Easy to cook, all tested, all cooked by a high schooler to make sure it wasn't really, you know, that fancy, complicated stuff. Ask for your own copy of the Fat Chance Cookbook when you pledge $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, these recipes were vetted by a high schooler. They were created by an excellent chef who wanted to make things that would taste good and still be simple. And meet all of Dr. Lustig's dietary recommendations. It's all in the Fat Chance Cookbook for you. $120 is the pledge amount for that thank you gift. Shakes down to $10 a month. And again, looking for five more pledges at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to support the programs that you count on.
Brian from Toma called. He says, I enjoy listening to WPR and I've been meaning to donate for a while. No better time than the present, Brian says. Well, now, how about you? No better time than the present to make your pledge to WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're already a sustaining member, we thank you. If you're not, what about becoming one right now? It's easy to set up the ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's convenient for you and it provides reliable funding for WPR.
So close to our goal this hour, you could put us over the top. And remember, keep pledging through the news. Still a chance to get your copy of Dr. Lustig's Fat Chance Cookbook. Great recipes, great ways to cut the sugar, avoid diabetes, other metabolic diseases with your pledge of $10 a month or more. Make that pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Polenta corn cakes with eggs. There is carrot cake. There is vegetarian bean chili. There is a recipe for ranch dressing. It's all in the Fat Chance Cookbook, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.